Step In, Bible Stories for Children.
Hello again. Now tell me, do you know anyone called Esther? Maybe you're called Esther. Maybe you've got a friend called Esther. Well, if you have, she's named after an amazing woman. Brave woman. We're going to journey together to a magnificent palace in Persia, where a brave young woman, Esther, becomes queen and faces a choice that could save her people. In this captivating tale, you'll explore secret plots, grand banquets, and the incredible power of courage and faith. Are you ready? Are you ready to discover how standing up for what's right can change the world? Okay, let's go. In the heart of the vast Persian Empire lay the splendid city of Susa. The streets bustled with merchants selling colourful silks, fragrant spices and glittering jewels. Towering above the city was the royal palace, a breathtaking structure adorned with marble pillars and golden decorations. In a modest home nearby lived Esther, a beautiful and kind-hearted Jewish girl. She'd been raised by her cousin Mordecai after her parents passed away. Mordecai was a wise man who worked at the king's gate. He loved Esther like his own daughter and taught her to be strong and faithful. One day, news spread throughout the empire. King Xerxes was searching for a new queen. His advisers suggested gathering the most beautiful young women from all over the land so the king could choose a bride. Soldiers and officials travelled far and wide, selecting maidens to bring to the palace. Esther was amongst those chosen. "Now remember your heritage and trust in God," Mordecai advised her gently. "But keep your Jewish identity a secret for now." Esther nodded, her eyes filled with both excitement and uncertainty. "I will do as you say, Cousin Mordecai." Arriving at the palace, Esther was amazed by its grandeur. The halls were lined with precious stones, and gardens filled with exotic flowers stretched as far as the eye could see. For a year, Esther underwent beauty treatments and learned the ways of the royal court. She found favour with Hegai, one of the king's helpers. "There's something special about you, Esther," he remarked kindly, providing her with the best accommodation and servants. When the time came for Esther to meet the king, she dressed modestly and carried herself with grace. King Xerxes was immediately captivated by her inner and outer beauty. He placed a royal crown upon her head and declared, "Esther shall be my queen." Imagine being a simple girl suddenly chosen to be queen of a vast empire. How would you feel if you were in Esther's place? Life in the palace was filled with luxury, but Esther remained humble and remembered Mordecai's teachings. She often looked out from her balcony, wondering how her cousin was faring. Mordecai continued to keep watch over her from a distance. "We must find a way to kill King Xerxes," they whispered, in a secluded corner near the gate. Alarmed, Mordecai quickly sent a message to Esther, warning her of the danger. Esther informed the king, giving credit to Mordecai for uncovering the plot. The conspirators were arrested and the incident was recorded in the Royal Chronicles, which was like being on the news before the news was invented. Meanwhile, a man named Haman rose to power in the king's court. He was promoted above all the other nobles, and he commanded that everyone bow down to him. Mordecai refused to bow, declaring that he would only bow to God. This infuriated Haman. Who is this Mordecai who dares to defy me? He snarled, learning that Mordecai was Jewish. Haman devised a wicked plan. He approached King Xerxes with a cunning proposal. There is a certain people scattered amongst the provinces of your kingdom who keep themselves separate, he began smoothly. Their customs are different, and they do not obey the king's laws. It's not in the king's best interest to tolerate them. King Xerxes trusted Haman and agreed to his request. He gave Haman his special signet ring. That was a ring that was really special, and it was meant that you were representing the king and you were really important. And it allowed him to issue decrees in the king's name. Letters were sent to all the provinces ordering the destruction of the Jewish people on a specific day. When Mordecai learned of the decree, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes, a sign of deep mourning. He stood outside the palace gate, wailing loudly. Esther's servants informed her of Mordecai's distress. Confused and concerned, she sent a messenger to find out what was wrong. Mordecai explained the dire situation and urged Esther to plead with the king on behalf of her people. Esther sent a message back. Everyone knows that any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned faces death. Unless the king extends the gold scepter, they cannot live. That's like a special rod which our King Charles had when he was crowned. Mordecai replied firmly, "Do not think that just because you're in the king's house, you alone will escape. If you remain silent, relief and deliverance will arise from another place, but you and your family will perish. And who knows, but you may have come to your royal position for just such a time as this." Esther realized the gravity of the situation. She knew she had to act, even if it meant risking her life. Have you ever had to make a tough choice to do what's right? Determined, Esther sent a final message to Mordecai. "Go, gather all the Jews in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, day or night. I and my attendants will do the same. After that, I'll go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish." For 3 days, Esther prepared herself. The palace seemed quieter than usual. The weight of her decision lay heavy on her shoulders. She prayed for courage and wisdom. On the third day, Esther dressed in her finest royal robes. Her heart pounded as she approached the inner court of the palace, where the king sat on his throne. When King Xerxes looked up and saw Esther standing there, his face softened and he held out the golden scepter. "What is it, Queen Esther?" he asked kindly. "What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be given to you." Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. "If it pleases the king," she replied gracefully. "Let the king and Haman come today to a banquet I have prepared for him." The king agreed, and Haman was summoned. At the banquet, over delicious food and fine wine, the king asked again, "Now what is your request? It will be granted." Esther smiled softly. "My petition and my request is this. If the king regards me with favour, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to another banquet I will prepare. Then I will answer the king's question." Haman left the banquet joyful, but his mood darkened when he saw Mordecai at the king's gate, still refusing to bow. Filled with rage, he went home and boasted to his friends and wife about his wealth and status. "Yet all this gives me no satisfaction as long as I see that Jew Mordecai sitting at the king's gate," he complained. His wife and friends suggested, "Have a pole set up, 50 cubits high." That's an old way of measuring things, but it means as high as the top of a church tower is from the ground. "And ask the king in the morning to have Mordecai impaled on the pole. Then go to the banquet and enjoy yourself." Rather pleased with the idea, Haman had the pole set up. That night the king couldn't sleep. He ordered the Book of Chronicles, which is a book in the Bible. He ordered that it be read to him. He was reminded of how Mordecai had saved his life by exposing the plot against him. "What honour and recognition has Mordecai received for this?" the king asked. "Nothing's been done for him," his attendants replied. Just then Haman entered the outer court to speak to the king about executing Mordecai. Wasn't a very good time to do that, was it? Before Haman could speak, the king asked, "What should be done for the man the king delights to honour?" Thinking the king was referring to him, Haman suggested, "Have them bring a royal robe the king has worn and a horse that the king has ridden. Let one of the king's most noble princes robe that man and lead him on the horse through the city streets, proclaiming, 'This is what is done for the man the king delights to honour.'" "Excellent!" the king exclaimed. "Go at once and do all you have suggested for, wait for it, Mordecai the Jew." Haman was shocked, but he had no choice. He robed Mordecai and led him through the streets, proclaiming honour upon him. Afterwards, Haman rushed home, humiliated. His wives and friends warned him, "Since Mordecai is of Jewish origin, you cannot stand against him. You'll surely come to ruin." While they were still talking, the king's helpers arrived to bring Haman to Esther's second banquet. At the banquet, the king asked Esther, "Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given to you." Esther took a deep breath. "If I have found favour with you, Your Majesty..." Fancy having to talk to your husband as Your Majesty. "If I have found favour with you, Your Majesty, and if it pleases you, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people. This is my request. For I and my people have been sold to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated." King Xerxes was astonished. "Who is he? Where is the man who has dared to do such a thing?" Esther pointed to Haman. "An adversary and an enemy. That's him. This vile Haman." Her man was terrified before the king and queen. The king, enraged, left the room to cool down. Her man begged Esther for his life. But when the king returned, he saw her man pouncing on the couch where Esther was sitting. "Will he even attack the queen while she is with me in the house?" the king roared. One of the helpers said, "A pole reaching 50 cubits, remember that's as big as a church tower, stands by her man's house." He had it set up for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king. "Impale him on it," the king ordered. Haman was executed, and the king gave Haman's estate to Esther. Mordecai was brought before the king, and Esther revealed their family connection. The king gave Mordecai his signet ring, making him the second in command. Esther pleaded with the king to revoke the decree against the Jews. While the king couldn't cancel the decree, he did allow Mordecai to write a new one that permitted the Jews to defend themselves. On the appointed day, the Jews triumphed over their enemies. Joy and celebration filled the land. Esther's bravery had saved her people. Imagine how she must have felt, knowing that her courage made such a difference. Do you see how standing up for what's right can change the world? Esther's story shows us the incredible power of courage and of doing what's right, even when it's really hard. By trusting in God and speaking up, she saved her people from harm. And even someone like her man, who seemed so powerful but was doing bad things, was crushed, because the good things that we do last forever, and the bad people, the evil people, God sweeps away. Maybe there's a friend who needs help, or a situation where you can stand up for what is right. Remember, your courage can make a big difference, just like Esther's did.